Welcome to It Doesn't Take a Genius. A quick tip before we get started. Nervous public speakers have often used the trick of visualizing their audiences in their underwear to calm their nerves. You may want to try that as you watch Mark and Mike. After all, neither one of them is wearing pants. I'm just saying.
That looked official.
Yep. Feeling pretty official.
Mark Ramsey.
Hey, Mike Marshall. Can I, I know that I'm going to be made fun of, but can I show you something?
Oh, please do. It's show and tell. This is school started. This is only appropriate.
Well, I'll set the tone so that this doesn't sound too weird. I'll set the tone this way. I have basically won two things in my entire life. The first was when I was in elementary school during the summer, our local Hex department store threw paper plates off the roof. And all of us villagers down at the bottom, the peasants, were grabbing these, you know, paper plates, and they each had a discount on them. And I caught the grand prize, 50% off entire purchase. And what? Yeah, it was amazing. I actually fought a grown man over it. He didn't realize what he had. I didn't either, but there it was. And anyway, that's the day my dad bought a circular saw. It was a very special moment for our, you know, clan.
Yeah. That is the cornerstone of a Hallmark movie, if I've ever seen it. That is the script right there. We've just written a Hallmark movie.
And then a big city lawyer came with a dog, and somehow he was wearing flannel. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But that's the first thing I've won. I'd like to introduce you to my baby, the second thing I've won. And I'll let you describe for those who are just listening. What do you think you're looking at there, Mike?
Well, it's some sort of space alien transformer robot mystery science theater 3000 person is what I'm seeing.
I'm going to disagree with most of what you said. Yeah. Oh,
and as it gets closer, I'm a little scared. He seems to be heavily armed, armored. And I'm always amazed that you've got these sci-fi guys, and yet they're still carrying around a 50 caliber, and they're using Gatling gun style.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you notice he has a big claw.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, that's normal.
Yeah, it looks like a backhoe.
Right.
Yeah, on one arm. Yeah.
So this is a model. This was a plastic kit that was assembled and painted, and it goes with a game called Warhammer 40,000. Mm-hmm. I'll just for scale, there's one of the little toy soldiers that's sort of the main part of the game.
So the regular soldier's the size of the robot's foot.
Yeah, it's like, you know, half my thumb, right?
Yeah.
Like, and so these were painted by professionals, and just you probably won't be able to tell, but there's one that I actually painted because this is a little hobby I always wanted to be involved in since my childhood. I'm trying to get it to focus, and of course it won't, but okay. If you could get it to focus, you'd possibly be able to see that the professionals for this little half of my thumb sized figure, there's literally like sclera and pupils painted into their eyes. It's sick how good they are. So
yeah, well, even out of focus you can tell your guy's a little more cartoonish.
Oh, totally. This is something I do just for fun because I always wanted to do it, and I'm trying to learn how to paint. I ended up winning. I think this is possibly the first time that the actual company who made the game has ever painted something that was officially given away. Wow. So I think I have the one and only. It was painted by a lady named Natalie Slynn, works for the studio of this company called Games Workshop. And basically, I've talked around to some folks, you know, sort of professional painters, commission painters, what they would charge. My guess is that I've got about $1,000 in this model. So it's like a real prize. And it's obviously a work of art. She does it with an airbrush. Oh. It's just disgusting. So
it's just absolutely beautiful. Yeah. The level of detail.
So it's all for a game that's played, you know, think like Risk on steroids. It's like a tabletop war game. You march these little toy soldiers around. My wife calls them precious moments for men. That's not inaccurate.
They're not dolls, they're action figures.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, that was when I showed my daughter G.I. Joe's.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I had these when I was a kid. You had dolls?
Whoa.
Action figures. Yeah. Heavily armed.
Action right. Right.
With
and this is like, you know, this is super geeky. I totally get it. I'm just really proud of it. Just wanted to share it with the world that I possibly have the one and only prize that's been given away by the studio. Yeah.
So other people, you know, when they come in the house, they go, you know, I'd like to show you our Picasso, our Renoir.
Right.
People come into your house and like, let me show you my Natalie.
Right.
Nice.
Right.
So does this have anything to do with business?
Yes. So you want to talk about business. Okay. Well, we can do that. The company that makes this game, the game is called Warhammer 40,000. They make a few other games. They make some board games. Well, Games Workshop, the company behind all this, is fabulously well thought of on the stock market. I think over the last 5 years, the last time I checked, the last 5 years, their stock has gone up 600% on the British exchange. They have opened more than 500 retail locations around the globe. They have licensed their, you know, universe, you know, sort of think Star Wars and Marvel, you know, how they've licensed their universe. This universe has been licensed for, I don't even want to know how many video games and computer games have come out of this. Card games, board games. Of course, they sell paint. They sell brushes. Now you know, folks that are listening to this will maybe be a little ahead of the curve if they weren't already, but there are some TV shows in the works right now that are being produced with, you know, some pretty high-end, well thought of guys who are, you know, behind the production and direction and so on. New York Times best-selling books. I mean, I could go on and on and on about all the areas that they have expanded. They're about, gosh, I should have looked this up before we started, but probably about a 40-year-old company. They started by having one of the first feathers in their cap was that they distributed Dungeons and Dragons in Great Britain. And then they started coming up with their own stuff. And, you know, decades later, just a rabid fan base. Motley Fool recently said that they think the stock still has growth opportunity. It's still a real winner. And even though it's gone up 600%, there's still more to go. Why? Because the fan base, the customer base is so loyal and it is only growing. They're expanding to lots of new markets, lots of new types of people, such as people who wanted to play the game when they were kids, but didn't have the money. And now we're like, yeah, sure. My wife will let me buy this. So super successful company. And it's because of a really engaged employee base that creates a really engaged customer base. We've been there before, haven't we?
Oh, I think so. The cornerstone of everything we talk about is engaged customers, engaged employees.
That's right.
And the power that brings. Also, as you're talking, I realize there is so much in the world I don't know. You know, here's the thing, it's been going on for 40 years. It's amazing. There's an entire cult. There's
right.
People who are wed to this. People are making millions of dollars. I've never heard of it.
Right. Right.
This makes me think, what else is there that I don't know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not like, you know, I guess the best way I know to put it is just like everything geek is being mainstreamed right now. This is stuff that it's been there all the time. And now suddenly it's coming to the surface. I was on a business trip and there was a guy, he ended up being, I think he was with PricewaterhouseCoopers, but a young consultant who was sitting across the aisle from me. And I look over and he's reading one of their doggone magazines. I'm like, do you play Warhammer? And you know, we're trading business cards and, you know, talking about our favorite armies. And so this has always been there. And now you're starting to see it bubble to the surface because they've kept that fan base so engaged over the years. And right now they're on a tear. I mean, if you go, their local retail location for me in Lexington, Kentucky is run by a young lady named Ilea. And Ilea is, I mean, I wish I could get her hired away to one of the car dealerships that I work for because she would just be so fabulous. Her customer experience just invites you in and gets you hooked on some hobby aspect of this game. And she gets you so excited about, wow, I could paint a guy like that. In fact, you just helped me paint a guy. They have a great customer experience, and it's because people like Ilea are so bought in. You know, they're like, they believe in this product and how fun it is and how engaging it is. So there you go.
That's amazing. And we've always talked about that enthusiasm. Right. If you're just enthusiastic about whatever it is you're doing, people will go with you.
That's it.
You know, it's just a natural human behavior to follow those who are moving a little bit faster and are a little more excited than you are about anything.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
So what else about this that we can take from a business standpoint?
Well, there's one big thing, and it's something that I just realized we had never talked about, but it's something I bet you and I deal with on a weekly basis. But Games Workshop is really, really good. I mean, I'm a geek about this Warhammer stuff and basically anything war related, but I'm also a geek about business. And so I've studied this company. I've listened to countless interviews with the people that work for corporate. I've visited a number of their retail locations, and I always pump the manager for information about, you know, how they were hired, how they were onboarded. There is one theme. I'm not going to say it comes up every time, but almost every time I hear from a Games Workshop employee, there's one theme, and that is, we are really good about giving and receiving feedback.
Wow. And we know, yeah, having coached a ton of people over their lifetime, that is an incredibly difficult thing to do.
Exactly.
So what's the secret formula?
So you and I have, used this in our work for years and years. And I think, your friend and mine, Gary Miner, a fellow coach, has a really simple way of putting it. But some people, and you can research this, but they call it the AID method. Mm-hmm. Action, impact, desired result for the future. And Gary's way of saying that, you know, that's an acronym to help you remember it. But he says, action, here's what I saw. Impact, here's why it's important. Desired result for the future, keep it up. So just a really simple way of looking at something very specific and saying, here's how that's going to be important and impact, your future. And for the future, here's what I'd like to see you do. It works positively and negatively. But just as an example, I recently heard an interview with somebody who does some of the online videos doing painting tutorials for Games Workshop. And he was talking about how he said one thing and then immediately with his brush did the opposite. And it wasn't a big deal, but it was something that was sort of more of an advanced technique that he did. And he should have done it the simpler way, I believe is basically the gist of it for the video, because he was recording this for, newbies like me. And his boss said, you're going to need to probably re-record this part because you said this, but you did this. That's the specific action that she observed. And he said, oh, well, you really think so? And she said, yeah, I do, because I think if we let that go to film and release it, you're going to come off as a little bit of an idiot. All right, desired result for the future was please re-record it, right? But that's the AID method at work. And notice that it wasn't necessarily a pleasant thing, but it's the right thing to make sure that you're taking care of that person downstream from you that you're giving feedback to. Mm-hmm. That there's a proverb, an ancient Jewish proverb, faithful are the wounds of a friend. We've talked about that before. And that's sort of what she was doing is, oh, I know you're not going to want me to point out this error, but I need to point out this error so you look absolutely the best on camera. That's what I love about AID is it's just so, I mean, it took a 60 seconds to have that conversation. And he's better at the end of the conversation.
Oh, yeah. Well, and there's another saying that we're fond of, that clarity is kindness.
Yes.
So in this case, because of AID, right, here's the specific action and here's its impact and here's what a possible outcome could be. That's kindness because, yeah, it may, like you said, it may sting in the short run, but it wouldn't be as bad as releasing this or this person continuing to do this and ultimately impacting their credibility and their trustworthiness within the audience that they're trying to reach.
Totally.
So in this case, yeah, kindness is clarity. And
yeah,
so, and to not be clear, to be ambiguous, one of the things that I like about AID is its specificity.
Yes.
You know, the hey, doing a great job, keep it up.
Right.
I did 1,000 things today. I don't know which one you're referring to or which one you're paying attention to as especially as the leader.
Right. Right.
The other thing I like about this is I was talking with a store the other day, and they have some things that they would like all of the salespeople to do. Mm-hmm. And they've been hitting them in the head with the hammer. You know, here's the list. Why aren't you doing it? And I asked them to turn it around. As you know, we talked about, you know, an appreciative inquiry approach. Who's doing it the best? And do you have a really good example that we can show where this salesperson did a great job with it?
Yeah.
And we highlight that. And they did. They had one that was completely documented in their follow-up systems. And, you know, the outcome was great. The person bought the car and left a great review. And so that at the next sales meeting, instead of beating everybody up on what they weren't doing, they just put an example up and said, here, you know, here's an action, here's the impact, here's the desired result. And they could visualize it, you know, you could see it, you know, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Now. Right.
And right. It was very specific on here's the very specific steps that were followed and here's the great outcome that came of that.
And so using,
you know, and we got permission from the salesperson because some people aren't comfortable with that kind of recognition.
Right.
But it was a way of recognizing that person and saying, you're doing a fantastic job. And then we let everybody else in the room know, here's what we're looking for.
Right.
This is what's important to us from a positive standpoint. And so just multiple good things that can come from that type of approach from a feedback perspective.
So there's a couple things about that just in it, you know, these are my last thoughts here, but one is that, you know, what a powerful exploration opportunity that is for the organization, right? You know, this guy that they're interviewing, they can be pulling out of him, you know, what exactly did you do that allowed you to do that action we observed? And so it becomes a two-way conversation, which can be really healthy because, hey, maybe they needed to do that with those other guys and find out that there's something that the store needed to do to help these guys deliver. I had a store one time where the only feedback they gave a recent hire was that some of the managers think you're lazy. And that was literally basically all they gave him. And, you know, like, what did that mean? You know, like walk faster or, you know, what do you want? And I was too late to save the guy, but I basically said, what was the action you observed that led you to that conclusion? You know, what was the A that led to your feedback? And the answer was, he wasn't sitting at his desk at 9 a.m. and he was out on the lot on his personal cell phone. This was a car dealership. Well, guess what? He was the internet manager. Probably a pretty good bet that he could have been talking to the inventory manager about what cars, you know, came in the night before, or talking to a customer over the phone saying, oh yeah, I'm looking at that used Taurus right now. It's beautiful. So, but they never got the chance because nobody actually ever had a two-way street with him. It was just sort of, bleh, you know, vomit on the guy. Mm-hmm. But another example of how that comes to the fore of having a two-way conversation is Games Workshop's online strategy. Their social media strategy right now is basically to collect as much feedback as they can from the fans. Right. And it's been something that has been remarked about in all the blogs and podcasts ad nauseum, that the company has just been really good at listening and people feel heard and they're excited more than they are normally about the next product coming out to where, you know, for instance, they just released the 9th edition of Warhammer 40,000. It literally sold out every time zone as it was released on the web. I'm talking within minutes, you know, the website crashes basically because of the load of customers coming on. They were so pumped about it. So, I just would gather that anybody out there who wants to have a more successful organization, one of the things you can do is get your people turned on by good feedback, and to make your organization a feedback-friendly environment for all parties involved.
No, I think it's a wonderful point. So we talked about feedback. We also talked about some investment advice I got years ago, and that was simply, if you're real excited about it, there's probably a whole lot of other people really excited about it. And so,
darn right.
So, if you see lines forming, and this is something that you get up early to go to the release of your product, there's a real good chance there's a whole world of people who are doing the same thing, and that needs to be a company that you look at. So, feedback advice and investment advice.
I love it.
It's a pretty good day.
Yeah.
All right, let's see what our announcer has to say. Fearfully.
And there you have it, another session of Contemporaneous Extemporizing from Mark and Mike. I know it's redundant, but consider who we're talking about. As always, feel free to share the ideas you heard here. No rights are reserved, no permissions needed. Thanks. See you next time on It Doesn't Take a Genius.
That's good enough.